Chapter 10 Uncertain Future. Talmer stirred a little, trying to wake up. He knew something was wrong, but he was having a hard time opening his eyes. His head was spinning. He forced his eyes open to find he was lying on his back on the ground, staring up at the gray pre-dawn sky. He had no idea how he ended up down there. He wondered if he may have fallen out of the tree somehow. As his head slowly started to clear, he remembered a little of the fight. Although it took way more effort than it should, he pushed himself up, ignoring the pain in his side and the lingering disorientation from whatever poison he'd breathed, thanks to the woman who knocked him out. Varun was still lying where he'd fallen, unconscious on the blood-soaked ground. Talmer ran to the Thrakai, trying to figure out if the young man was even still alive as he shouted for the others to get up. He put a hand on the young soldier's throat, checking for a pulse. While he did find one, he also felt that Varun's scales were far cooler than they should be, which sent another jolt of fear through him. Being abnormally cold was never a good sign, especially in a person with the inborn heat that almost all fire-breathing creatures possessed. "Get up!" he shouted again.
"Shut it, elf!" Beodin mumbled. "It ain't morning yet!"
"It does not matter if it's morning or not. I need you to get up!"
Caelith, roused by the shouting, blinked and looked over in their direction, confused. A second later, she was shaking Damien's shoulder, trying to get him awake. The second he was up, she bolted over to Talmer and Varun. Damien followed, significantly less graceful than the moon elf. The human's face paled when he saw the injuries.
"Oh, that's a lot of blood," he breathed, eyes going wide. "That doesn't look good."
Kayla took one look at Varun and ran for her bag, pulling out a box of healing supplies. She snatched Talmer's knife from the ground and hastily cut through Varun's shirt so she could get to the injuries. The fabric was stiff with dried blood. She pushed a couple necklaces he was wearing aside and pulled out a needle. Talmer saw one was his clan insignia. The other was a thin chain with two gold rings on it. Caelith tried to sew the gashes in his chest shut, but the Thrakai's scales kept the needle from piercing. Talmer knew it would be possible to sew up the gash, but it would cause a lot of pain for Varun and may only result in more damage being done. Caelith, or whoever did it, would essentially have to stab him repeatedly with the needle in order to get through the warrior's natural armor.
"That's going to be a problem," she muttered to herself. "Tal, get over here and help."
Talmer, who had already been gathering a handful of cloth to use as bandages, laid a thick piece of cloth over the gashes in Varun's chest, trying to stop any residual bleeding. He began trying to apply pressure, hoping to keep the warrior alive for just a little while longer. Caelith did the same to the cuts on his side.
"Come on, Varun, stay with me,"
she whispered, pressing the already bloody cloth harder against the wounds.
"Please stay with me. Don't give up now. Please."
Her brow furrowed as she felt for a heartbeat. The Thrakai's breathing was shallow and uneven. Judging by the bloodstains on the ground and the depth of the wounds, he'd lost a lot of blood. By all rights, he should have died an hour ago or more. Even though he was still clinging to life, Talmer could tell he was losing that battle. He was dying.
"Talmer, herbs, now!" Kayla snapped. "There should be some in my bag. If not, go find something in the forest. Hurry!"
The wood elf sprinted across the clearing. He dug in the pack for a moment, pulling out several small cloth pouches. He ran back and handed the bags to Kayla.
"I need something to crush them."
Her voice was filled with desperation.
"Here!"
Beodin ripped a large flat stone out of the ground. He found a smaller, fist-sized rock and placed it on the stone slab, offering it to Caelith.
"That'll have to do,"
she gasped, already yanking different herbs out of her pouches.
"Someone, get me a cup and a water skin."
She began crushing the herbs, which she brushed into the cup Damien brought. Once she had enough, she splashed water into it and started stirring the mixture around with her fingers. Soon, she had a thick paste which she spread across the cuts. Talmer slid a hand under the warrior's shoulder and gently lifted him up, carefully holding him steady while Caelith worked to bandage the wounds. After a minute or two, she sat back onto her heels, having done all she could, and began packing her supplies back into her bag.
Let's hope he makes it, she sighed, seeing the blood already seeping through the bandages.
Where's Vala?
Damien asked after a minute. He was still pale and shaken, and the waver in his voice reflected that. Caleth cursed, glancing around.
She's probably the one that did this to him, she growled. Why else would she run off?
You really think she could have taken down Varun?
Beodin pointed out.
Oh, I doubt it.
No, it was not her, Talmer said, gently lowering the Thrakai to the ground. There was an attack. There were 3 Bloodborne warriors against him. I had no way to notice until after the fight started due to a silent spell cast on the area. Vala was being held back out of the fight by someone. I believe he was a Tulrin.
So you just jumped into the fight, huh?
Beodin asked.
Thinking you could handle it, and not even bothering to wake the rest of us. Look how well that turned out for you.
It is kind of hard to call for help when you're unable to make a sound, the Wood Elf retorted. And I had very little time to plan. If I had gone to shake you awake, Varun would probably be dead right now.
So you didn't see what happened to Vala?
Damien asked, breaking up the fight before it had a chance to begin. No, but I assume the Tauren took her, Talmer said. He probably brought her back to the compound.
Why didn't they take the Varun then?
Beodin asked.
Or you?
They probably didn't want to drag him. Or maybe they thought he would be dead by now, Talmer said. I only saw 4 of them, the Tauren, the Chimera hybrid, and 2 others who Varun and I knocked out, so they probably didn't have anyone else to bring us back.
Or maybe they thought he was dead and you were too useless to bother with,
Beodin muttered.
All right, shut up,
Kayla snapped, wiping the blood off her hands.
We don't have time for this. Help me move him.
She struggled to pick Varun up, draping his arm over her shoulder and attempting to lift him. Talmer helped her, taking the Thrakai's other arm. They were able to drag him back to the base of the tree, so he wasn't just in the center of the clearing. He wasn't too heavy. In fact, he was probably quite a bit lighter than he should have been. But he was a little awkward to move since he couldn't do anything to help them, and they couldn't risk worsening his wounds. Caliph knelt next to him, pressed 2 fingers to his neck. She frowned.
He's not doing good, she said,
seriously downplaying the extent of Varun's injuries.
His heartbeat is weak, and he's not breathing well, but he's alive. We need to keep him that way.
He's dying, isn't he?
Beodin asked matter-of-factly.
I haven't seen anyone come back from that bad of an injury before.
I don't know. I'm trying my best, she shivered.
The wind was picking up and bringing a chill with it.
Tal, go find wood. If you find any healing herbs, bring them back. I'm almost out. I need bear claw, shadow fuse, and a few sprigs of red crown, and satyr's moss. If you can find any king's blade, bring it. I have a feeling I'm going to need it.
I don't recognize any of those, Damien muttered. I've read a bit about healing before, but I've never heard of those type of plants.
Please, find them. You know what I'm trying to do. I don't know how he's not dead already, but we got lucky. He's too hurt for me to use my abilities on him directly, at least without doing serious damage to myself. This might be the only thing that can save him,
she whispered in Elvish, before switching back to the common language to reply to Damien.
No, they're the Elvish names translated into the common tongue. You might know them by a different name. Talmer, what are you waiting for? Go!
Hey, Elf!
Beodin called as Talmer started to run off.
There are dire wolves deep in those woods, and they'd be more than happy to tear you into pieces. They're spiders, too, and not the small kind, either. So don't get yourself killed.
Wait, Damien turned to the dwarf, raising an eyebrow slightly.
You actually care about him?
Nah, I just want to be there to laugh at him when he does get himself killed.
Talmer slung his bow and quiver across his back and grabbed his knife from where Caleth had dropped it. He hurried into the forest following the stream and trying to avoid stepping on branches. Having grown up in a forest, he knew how to sprint through the trees without making a sound. He spotted several small plants in the undergrowth, but they weren't what he was looking for. Finally, he came across a small, sharp-leaved plant.
Its leaves had 5 points, all facing away from the stem, resembling claws. It was bear claw. He grabbed a handful of its leaves and stuffed them into his belt pouch. His hand stung, and he remembered too late that the underside of the leaves were covered in small, sharp thorns like the spines on a nettle. Quite a few of them had become embedded into his palm. He started picking the thorns out as he continued deeper into the forest. Although he saw plenty of fallen wood as he walked, he opted to leave it until he collected the herbs. He was so focused on looking for them, he forgot to watch his feet and tripped over a vine, landing sprawled on the decaying leaves that covered the forest floor. He sat up, checking to make sure his weapons were all right, and glanced back at the vine. It was a reddish-gray color with crowns of red leaves circling it. He realized that he just accidentally found the red crown he needed. He found the vine's roots and cut a few of the small sprigs, stuffing them in his pouch with the bear claw. The trees got larger and closer together as he left the stream and continued into the forest, blocking out most of the light. The warm, earthy scent gradually changed to one of decay. Something small, gray, and mossy caught his eye, and he almost grabbed it, thinking it was the shadow fuse he needed. Right before he touched it, he realized that it was a spider web woven so tight it resembled a thin mesh. The spider was poised on it, busily working to wrap whatever it had captured inside of its web. He continued, searching intensely, knowing that finding the herbs Caleth needed was his top priority. Whether he found them or not meant life or death for Varun. He found the satyr's moss, but he knew he had to get some shadow fuse. Even if he couldn't see it, he knew the sun was creeping higher in the sky, and he had to find it fast. The spider webs became more abundant as he pushed on, and the undergrowth grew thicker. His pace was much slower now, and he knew he would soon have to start cutting his way through the tangles of bushes and vines if he wanted to continue. He touched the hilt of his knife, about to draw it, but realized cutting through would leave a trail, and even the smallest indication of where the camp was could get them all killed. Even though the Bloodborne already knew where the camp was, bandits and raiders were common in the woods, and Talmor wanted nothing to do with them. After nearly 15 minutes of pushing through the undergrowth, he found it, a small, wispy gray plant tucked away in a rotting tree. It looked almost exactly like a ball of spider silk. He pulled it out, being extremely gentle so he didn't crush it, and slid it into his pouch with the rest. There was a seed inside that would begin to quickly decay as soon as the air touched it, and he needed to keep that as fresh as possible. Now, he just had to find Kingsblade. He appreciated that Caleth had been subtle when she told him to find the herbs. Even though she had clearly been extremely worried, she kept her head clear. To the rest of the group, she had just wanted a random collection of herbs. He knew that the potion she was going to make was one she would only use if there was no other option. Even though they all feared the worst, she'd wanted to keep the others as calm as possible, especially since there was nothing they could do to help. He found a track through the undergrowth, and even though he knew it was a bad idea, he followed it deeper into the forest. The track ended at a large cave. To his relief, outside the mouth of the cave grew a silver plant which he recognized. A twig cracked behind him. Half a second later, he felt hot breath on his neck, and he dived into the small clearing outside the cave. He came up and spun to find he was face to face with a huge direwolf. It growled, stalking towards him. He began backing up, trying to put some space between himself and the huge creature, trying to show no sign of fear. The direwolf stood as tall as he did. Its mottled gray fur was etched with the scars from previous fights, and its fangs were long enough to do serious damage if it got a hold of him. It slowly paced towards him. He unclipped the pouch from his belt, letting it slide gently down to avoid crushing the fragile plants, and grabbed his bow from his back. Slowly, carefully, he knocked an arrow. His heart beat faster as the direwolf approached. He could see its golden eyes gleaming in the dim light. Without a warning, it lunged for him. He got his shot off, but the arrow merely grazed the wolf's shoulder as it attacked. Its teeth sank into his leather pauldron, and it violently shook its head, whipping him back and forth. His bow flew from his hand, landing out of his reach as he was thrown to the ground. The wolf was on him in a second, standing over him and tearing at his armor, but he managed to get a hand on his knife. He slashed at its leg, trying to win enough space to get back to his feet. It attempted to bite him again, this time going for his face, but but he rolled out of the way and he got a mouthful of leaves and dirt. He kicked upwards, connecting with its chest, and pushed it off. It staggered back, snarling at him, then threw up its head and uttered a long, chilling howl. He rolled to his feet as it charged again, hackles up, teeth bared. He tried to keep it back, but it sank its teeth into his right forearm, piercing through the leather vambrace he was wearing. It hurt. A lot. He cried out as it shook its head again, tearing deeper into his arm. His knife slipped from his hand as the wolf bit down harder. He reached for it, but the dire wolf shook its head again, throwing him to the ground and keeping its powerful jaws locked onto his arm. He scrambled for the knife again, this time nearly getting close enough to touch it, but the wolf yanked its head up, jerking him to his feet. Its teeth sank deeper, and tears of pain began to obscure his vision. Fighting off the pain, he punched at its muzzle, startling it enough to drag it back down and grab his knife. It pulled him up again, dragging him across the clearing, and he nearly lost his grip on the knife again, but he managed to bury the knife into its neck. It sank to the ground, eyes staring at nothing. Its jaw was still locked in a death grip on his forearm as it dragged him to the ground with it. He tried to pry it off with his other hand, but only succeeded in hurting himself more. He grabbed a stick from the ground and used it as a lever to pull its jaws open. It hurt, but it worked, and he was able to twist his arm out of its mouth. He ripped the knife out of the fallen wolf's neck as he stood up. Other howls rang out, and he knew other direwolves would be closing in. Using his left hand, he slung the bow over his shoulder and grabbed the pouch, clipping it back to his belt. He plucked a handful of the king's blade and held it for a moment, seeing its long silver leaves glitter in the faint light before he tucked it away with the others. Another howl split the air, even closer this time, and he ran, holding his wounded arm close to his body to avoid hurting himself more. Branches and vines smacked him as he tried to find his way through the dense foliage. His long hair had fallen out of its half ponytail and flew in his face. Eventually, he broke through a tangle of vines and found himself in a clearer area of the forest. He ran back through the trees, finding the stream, and it led him back to where the camp was. Once the howls were far enough behind him, he slowed to a quick walk, breathing hard. He remembered that Caleth had asked him to get wood, but he knew he wouldn't be able to carry it back. Even moving his arm hurt, and there was no way he'd be able to carry branches with it. As he neared the camp, he paused for a moment to kneel by the stream and rinse off the blood coating his forearm. He could tell the vambrace was beyond saving. The leather was torn up, and one strap had been snapped in half. The cold, clear water quickly swept away the semi-dried blood, as well as eased the pain a bit. Without the blood coating his arm, Talmer could see the wounds more clearly. They weren't as bad as they'd felt, but the cuts were deep. A couple of them reached bone. Wincing as he moved his arm again, he got to his feet, heading into the camp.
"What happened to you?"
Beodin asked, noticing the fresh scars in his armor.
"Did you fall off a cliff or something?"
"Not quite," Talmer said, forcing a smile. "I found your direwolf." Caleth snapped her head up, staring at him worriedly. He moved over next to her, holding out the pouch of herbs. She took it, set it on the ground next to her, and grabbed her pack, pulling a strip of cloth out of it. She also pulled out her needle.
"Are you okay?"
she asked gently, taking his arm and preparing to start stitching up the worst of the gashes.
"It's not as bad as it looks or feels."
He bit his lip as she moved his arm to a more convenient position. Her touch was soft and light, but the wounds still stung. "It just hurts a lot."
"I'm really sorry."
It didn't take her long to close the wounds and bandage his arm, allowing him to use it without quite so much discomfort. Beodin and Damien had gone off to gather the firewood and had a good-sized fire going by this point. Beodin looked about to make a comment, likely about he and the human had to do Talmer's job, but he decided against it. Caleth put a pot of water on the fire and moved over to check on Varun again. Talmer could see that his breathing was a little steadier now, but Caleth's face told him that the Thrakai wasn't doing well. She began tearing up a handful of the herbs Talmer had brought her, wincing a couple of times as she accidentally pricked a finger on the nettle-like spines of the bear claw. She put the pieces into a cup, then picked up the last remaining item from the pouch, the shadow fuse. She ripped it in half, pulling away the wispy gray filaments to reveal a small black seed. She placed the seed on the rock she still had and tried to smash it, but it stayed intact.
"Beodin, can you do something about that?"
she asked. I don't need it destroyed, just cracked.
Sure. Bearden took the fist-sized rock from her and slammed it down onto the seed.
There you go.
She picked up the seed, which had been cracked into several pieces, and dropped the pieces into the cup with the rest. As soon as the water was hot, she began pouring it into the cup, filling it to about the halfway mark. As she stirred it, the pieces began to separate, but the mixture was still just a cupful of leaves. She held her hand about an inch from the rim, fingers splayed out, and partly closed her eyes. She began whispering a few words in Elvish, and her silver eyes began glowing with a bright teal light. The mixture she held began to glow as well, lit with the same teal aura.
What does that mean? Damien whispered. What's she doing?
It's a healing spell, Talmer answered. Just wait for a few minutes and let her work. Caelith pulled her hand back as the glow faded from her eyes. The herb potion glowed brighter, and the leaf chunks rapidly dissolved until it was a translucent teal liquid, still glowing faintly. Although it had been nearly full when she started, there was now only a few tablespoons left. She set the cup down, snatched Talmer's knife, and cut off the bloody bandages. She grabbed a cloth from her bag and wiped the blood off Varun's injuries again. She pulled a few bandage swipes out of her bag, soaked them with the glowing liquid, and laid them over the cuts. Talmer gently lifted Varun up again while she wrapped more bandages around him. His scales were still too cold, but a bit of the normal warmth was returning. Caelith checked his pulse again, but still frowned.
He'll live, Talmer said softly, seeing her face. He lowered the young soldier back to the ground. If he's survived this long, he's not going to give up now.
Please don't die on me, she whispered, her voice faint.
She gently shifted Varun's head so she could pour the last of the potion down his throat without him choking on it.
Please.
The cup clattered onto the ground. Caelith collapsed into Talmer's arms, exhausted by the magic she had used to create the potion. He held on to her, letting her sleep, and leaned back against the tree. It was only 2.5 hours past dawn, but it felt like they'd been up for 10 hours. Unable to go back to sleep, Phelan eventually got up and went out to wander the compound. He had permission to go pretty much anywhere he wanted, save a few specific areas. He ended up simply pacing around the empty halls for a while, trying to avoid everyone else as he futilely attempted to sort out his thoughts. After a bit, he spotted Arian and Six in one of the halls, quietly talking as Arian flipped through the papers.
Nico dry, sir?
Six was asking.
Looks like that.
Arian flipped a page around, clearly trying to find something. The page looked like a shipment report.
Why there? That's where a lot of slaver ships meet. She may be brought through there.
What if she's not?
How will you explain why you want to go there to your father?
Same. Lie, as always. I want to assist the Bloodborne operation by gathering the best supplies from our contacts at the seaport, and I think they may have a shipment. He doesn't check the records as well as he should most of the time. I've slipped other things under his nose.
Sir? What if she gets hurt because of this?
Arian sighed.
I'll just have to be careful.
Six was about to say something else when Arian looked up and spotted Phelan. He smiled a little at the half-elf.
Hey, Phelan, is there something I can help you with?
No, sir, Phelan replied. What were you talking about?
Just a supply run. I may be heading down to Nicodry at some point to collect a shipment.
Phelan nodded a little, but he knew that wasn't true.
Who are you talking about? You said she.
Just a contact.
He smiled again when he spotted Phelan's uncertain look. He added,
she's my sister. She oversees important goods delivered via ship. She works out in the Lost Sea most of the time, so it's dangerous. But she brings in good pay and a lot of materials.
Phelan still thought he was lying, but he nodded, not wanting to get into trouble.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Of course. See you soon, soldier.